Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, if you're a long-time watcher of Ups and Downs, you know sometimes I pretend we're going to stand there and mourn something in wrestling, then I laugh at you for thinking we would actually do that. But today, it changes, because for the second week of the row, we did not get a Veer is coming to Raw promo, and you know what that means in terms of WWE. His character is basically dead. So yes, seriously, please do join me. Put your hands together, stare over there like you're feeling forlorn, and let's just take a few seconds to feel really, really sorry for Veer. Doesn't it just suck? But we do have to move on because we cannot live in the past. Hello, I am Simon from What Culture, and welcome to what is essentially just a review show where we focus on wrestling. And today we shall go into Raw. And don't forget, it's going to be Raw Rumble season soon, then WrestleMania. So really, things should be about to start getting good. Let's up those doubts. We've already learned two things for 2022. One, having Brock Lesnar on every single show is most definitely a good thing. Also two, if you find yourself in some kind of situation where you don't know what to do with Bobby Lashley, just all of a sudden reintroduce Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander and have Bob beat him up. Because yes, Cedric and Shelton did approach Bob at the start of Raw, and Lashley just went, nah, I don't want to be your friends anymore. They went, but we don't have anything else to do. And they skulked off. So Lashley clearly has been hanging around with Roman Reigns in his gaslighting ways, because when he was fighting Goldberg, he was all buddy-buddy, and now he's flicking him away. Does it really cost that much to be nice? Lesnar had also made his way out to the ring during all of this. I kid you not, he was barely able to say anything before he was interrupted. So we bring down the board, and it now rolls up to 8 in WWE, and we've only been doing it a week, which means it's 10 overall across all wrestling promotions. And a quick shout out to that one guy in the comments who went, why are you doing this? It's a staple of pro wrestling. That's the whole point, you goober. We've taken the mick out of the stereotypes. And it was, of course, Bob and MVP who came to confront their challenger at the Raw Rumble. And at first, Lashley was playing all nice, going, oh, Brock Lesnar, he's so great. I love you so much, .. apart from the fact you've been ducking me for 20 years, ruh-roh. As ever, Brock gets the best lines though, because he said, I'm not really sure how that's possible, because before the day one pay-per-view, before the day one premium life event, I didn't even know who you were, Bob, so we were firing those shots. It got even better, because Lesnar then told a knock-knock joke with Paul Heyman that actually went, knock knock, who's there? Bobby who? And honestly, Brock, without even skipping a beat, just went, exactly. There ain't no argument no more. This the best version of Brock Lesnar. He then just walked off after absolutely verbally wrecking Bobby Lashley, and put your hands up if you are ready for this match at the next premium live event. My hand stays up, and therefore it gets it up. This, of course, opened the door for Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin to jump Bobby Lashley, and he just murked him. I mean, he killed them. It was the equivalent of that Simpsons kid going, stop, they're already dead. And we didn't need to do this. You don't have to bring these two guys back to TV just so somebody can beat them up. You do know they are pretty good wrestlers. Well, clearly you don't, and it's getting it down. And then, good grief, I did not see this coming. So we were in the back with RKO doing more comedy, and Randy Orton literally wrote on Riddle's hands, tag in Randy, because last week Riddle hadn't done that, and that's why Orton believes they lost the match. This then led in to RK-Bro versus Alpha Academy for the Raw Tag Team titles. And brace yourself if you don't know, because Otis and Chad Gable won. And it was a pretty good match too. I mean, Riddle hit a dive at one point to trigger the commercial break, and when we came back, Chad Gable was going to work, but of course it all ties into the finish. Because Randy on this time did get the hot tag, he did run wild, and that's when Riddle went, well, I know what I'll do. I will try and attack Otis on the outside. He failed, because Otis absolutely ruined him. He then got a tag, Randy Orton didn't notice, and then Otis hit the world's strongest slam, and he pinned Randall Keith Orton to, like I say, become a champion. Ooh, delally. And I will tell you why this rocked. For starters, nobody saw it coming, and WWE can always do more of that. But also, too, here we are in 2022, and Chad Gable and Otis just won some championships. That makes me feel all warm and fuzzy in my tum-tum. I'm also now convinced that we probably are going to do Riddle versus Randy Orton at WrestleMania, which I'm totally fine with. It is getting it up. Damian Priest then just told us he was going to be in the Royal Rumble, so somebody should probably find Johnny Knoxville and go, sorry, John, you got lied to when you were told you had to tip Sami Zayn over the top rope. And Bianca Belair said that later on in her number one contendership match, she will win and take on Becky Lynch. It was then Damian Priest and the Street Profits taking on Apollo Crews and the Dirty Dogs, and while a lot of elements of this kind of made me feel like I was stuck in a time loop, it was fine. Like, the fans didn't really care, but they know what they're doing. They are able to put on a decent wrestling match. There was lots of craziness and near falls, and of course, Montez Ford did one of those beautiful dives where he just soars over the top rope, and you think, man, what an incredible human being you are to take out Apollo Crews and Commander General Aziz. And this kind of caused somewhat of a distraction, maybe, but not really. So Angelo Dawkins got zigzagged by Dolphy Ball Ziggles, and Dolph got the win. So this was fine, and my main gripe is that we really need a better plan for the US Championship, because Damian Priest, like I say, is going into the Royal Rumble, which kind of makes this piece of tin feel like we should just forget about it. Seth Rollins was then out next on Raw, and I tell you, this dude is just on fire right now. He is super pumped for the Royal Rumble, because he is going to take on Roman Reigns, his brother, and win the Universal Championship. And I actually wouldn't be against that at all. Which is when, of course, he got interrupted. So, bring it down. Yes, it rolls up to 9 in WWE and 11 overall, and I'm an idiot. Why did we start this? I already forgot one last week, and I will absolutely forget one this week and probably next week, and in March and April and May and June and July, because there are just too many. It was Big E, though, so all of a sudden I was in my happy place, and he kept it nice and simple. He is betting on Seth Rollins to indeed be victorious at the Royal Rumble premium live event. Don't want to be shocked anymore. It really, really hurts. To the point he has put $10 on this because, of course, he will win the Royal Rumble. He will go to WrestleMania. He will take on Seth and he'll get back his gold. So yeah, seriously, do literally that, WWE. And there's a small chance that we will be doing it because Big E then goaded Seth Rollins into having a match right here, right now. Eventually, he did accept. And while Big E lost, which made me go, man, what the flappers is going on? WWE loves doing this with the person that is going to win the Royal Rumble. So all cross your fingers and just squeeze really hard. And hopefully we can manifest it into existence. They also got some serious time. And let's be honest, Seth Rollins and Big E could have a match anywhere and it would rock. And Big E at first was throwing Seth around. He took his head and he smashed it into Alan and the outs table. And this is when Seth kind of had to go after his leg. Because, of course, if you ain't got a leg, you can't do any wrestling moves. But he was so riled up, though, he did that spear through the ropes onto Seth Rollins and then went back to hurling him like he was a sack of potatoes. Now, you'll be going, finally, a sack of potatoes weighs loads. Yes, but that's the point. Big E is really massive, so he'd be able to do it. And then trading back and forth when Big E turned a curb stomp attempt into a power bomb, which is my new favourite spot. And just to get to the ending, because you already know what is going to go down, eventually Seth did hit this Kirby thingamajig and he got the win. So yes, I am going to give this an up, even though I disagree with how it went, although Seth Rollins is the number one contender. But I have totally bought into the fact that I've made up in my own skull that Big E is now going to win the Royal Rumble. And man, that would make me so damn pleased. Now watch as I get it completely wrong. This really was a night for assholes too, because all the bad guys kept winning but at least we did a lot of interesting stuff. For weeks, though, we have seen that there is something wrong between Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H., and if you do watch Ups and Downs, I've been going, we should ensure Nikki A.S.H. goes heel, because it will make this character more interesting. Well, that's exactly what happened. Now, it did start badly because A.S.H. went, oh, Rhea, I think we should have another tag team title match. I don't know what kind of accent that was. And Rhea was like, that's not what we discussed backstage. I thought we were going to talk about the Rumble. And I was like, Ripley is right. In what world do you two schmoes deserve another championship match? In fact, Rhea wanted to take this as far as them going their separate ways, but Nikki didn't want to. So just as Nikki was celebrating on the ropes, like, oh, man, it's going to be okay, it looked like Rhea Ripley was going to attack her. But instead, when the Nightmare went to fist bump her, Nikki absolutely whipped her ass. She has turned heel. And very unfortunately, when she was walking away, she had to stand on the rampway for honestly about 72 years and also utter the line, almost superheroes don't have friends. Now, no one has ever said that sentence in the history of the world, and also grammatically, it is all over the place. However, let's make Nikki crazy. Let's get away from this superhero stuff and kind of go back to that nuts gimmick she used to do ages ago. And I do admit, as a segment, this was a bit weird, but the result was the right one. And I'm actually intrigued to see how this is going to go. 24/7 nonsense next, and you know the deal. When we do these backstage skits, nothing entertains me more, while simultaneously, the more serious side of me is like, man, this is really stupid. The short version is that Reggie was teaching Dana Brooke, the 24/7 champion, how to eat a Philly cheesesteak, I am not joking, when R-Truth approached with a bin. I'm seriously not making this up either, because all of a sudden Reggie had spider senses and knew that the championship was in danger. This is when Tozawa came out of the bin, and because in this fracas, Tamina got meaner, and the cheesesteak was thrown over her, she beat up the bin. Now, who? Well, I don't even know. It then ended with Reg bumping into
Omos.
And Dana Brooke being like, no, don't take him on. So clearly
Omos
is absolutely going to destroy him next week. And I have no idea who is writing this, but I'd love to be here. So this really did make me laugh out loud, but you cannot paint it as good. Like, I can't even believe it exists. And it's a real thing that I watched. So even though I am going to give it a down, WWE, please, from the bottom of my tootsie toes, keep doing this because I love it. Omos then did go to the ring and he absolutely ruined this guy called Nick Sanders. And
Omos
is so tall, there's every chance that Nick Sanders was like 6'2", but the height difference was absolutely ridiculous. And yes, if you listen closely, you hear Omos go, should I do the height thing? And the referee goes, yeah, yeah, do the height thing. So he starts doing that with his hand. Boy, do I love it when we see behind the curtain. But you know how I feel about Omos. I want him to smash everyone and be the big guy that he can be. And it's not like we're not doing this across all promotions with people who are bigger than average. So why can't we do it here? I mean, it was nothing. You could skip by it, but I'm still giving it up. We then cut to Doudrop, who I swear said that 2022 will be the year that we all get Doudropped. So she ain't talking English because I don't know what that means. And then later on in her match, I also think her finisher is now called the Doudrop. So flub me, are we doubling down on this? It was then time for the Cutting Edge with Edge, and his guest was going to be Beth Phoenix, his wife. So do not forget, this meant at one point during the week in the world of kayfabe, Edge went, hey, Beth, do you want to be on my Cutting Edge talk show on Raw? She went, yeah, that sounds great, love. And that's really, really odd. It was really well done, though, because Edge did put Phoenix across like a monster and had even made a video for her. And when we cut back from that, Beth insinuated that he was only doing this because he wanted to get some later. But honestly, if that's what you have to do to get the sideways shuffle, produce a video, I'd be like, you know what? I can't be bothered. And then naturally, Miz and Maryse interrupted. So I have brought this on myself. I am a fool. I put myself in this position. But bring it down. It rolls up to 10. That's 12 total. We are going to smash through 200. This was quite funny, though, because as ever, Maryse was the star of the show here, and she played it perfectly. Because after the Miz had gone nuts, going, oh, we're going to destroy you at the Royal Rumble, you're going to go down, tell him, Maryse, he turned around. But she'd already scarpered because she don't want none of this. Somehow, this will probably mean that Miz and Maryse do win at the Royal Rumble. And while this isn't my favorite feud, they are doing what they need to do, and you can just see all over their faces how happy they are to be doing it with their significant others. You can't get mad at that. Austin Theory then told us he was taking on AJ Styles. What? He had gotten advice from Vince McMahon, though, not to screw this up, and he wasn't lying either. It happened right in front of our face. And I really enjoyed it, too, given that AJ Styles is one of the best wrestlers ever, and Austin Theory certainly has something. But, of course, given their status in the company, ended in a disqualification. Down. So it was just classic WWE, where they're like, well, we're gonna put two stars together, but we don't really want any of them to lose, so we won't. And this is just so long in the tooth by this stage. I mean, we did the DQ counter in 2021, and we got to 70. And I'm sorry, but 70 disqualifications is way too much. Just when AJ was gonna go for the phenomenal forearm, to NXT's Grayson Waller was here, and he beat up AJ, so this is why we did get the DQ. And look, I totally get this. You wanna be able to advertise NXT because we are getting Waller versus Styles, but it's also massively confusing because sometimes NXT does exist on the main roster and then 2 weeks afterwards it doesn't. I mean, it's bad enough for us, but imagine you'd never watched WWE before. You would be absolutely bamboozled. Liv Morgan then finished the trifecta of people cutting promos for our main event because she is going to win and go to the Royal Rumble. Unlike poor Veer, 1 week ago, Alexa Bliss had a, hey, I'm going to return to Raw video, and then she got treated like a star because she did indeed return to Raw. Now, we certainly haven't backed off with the madness here because Alexa Bliss was in a psychiatrist's office and she was talking to the psychiatrist. And basically what happened here is he made her go back in time and remember Charlotte ripping up Lily, so she went absolutely nuts and destroyed his office. Bliss then ran away screaming, and I'm going to say the same thing that I always say, and I'm going to have to apologize for it. But I like the fact that it's different. I like the fact that we have a character. I like the fact we're trying new things. But when I sit there and watch it, my brain just goes, nah, this ain't for me. Something ain't clicking. So that doesn't mean I want WWE to stop it, and nobody should be catering for me. I mean, look at me. I'm a bald a-hole. Even my parents think I stink. But I can't get into it. And I don't know why. There's just something off. So I must be true to myself and give it a down. But if you like it, I totally understand. It just ain't for me. Becky Lynch arrived and cut a short promo because she wants to watch firsthand Bianca Belair versus Doudrop versus Liv Morgan, so she knows who she's going to be fighting in but a few weeks. And I actually thought this was a really fun match. Let's not pretend otherwise. I mean, the story at first was Bianca and Liv being like, man, that Doudrop, not only is she as obsessed with her name, but you know, she's quite the monster, so we should focus on her. But then, of course, later on, Liv was going to win or Bianca was going to win. So they're like, oh, well, now we've got to fight. It was classic WWE. WWE triple threat rules. That was awesome though, because at one point Morgan had Bianca in the Rings of Saturn, and Bianca Belair is so strong, she just stood up. But then Morgan reversed that into a code breaker, and she was busting these things out all over the place. It was cool. Doudrop then powerbombed Liv Morgan, but Bianca Belair broke up the cover with a 450, and this is the equivalent of answering your door with your ass. Like, you can do it, but there are far simpler ways, but it's still damn impressive. It then took a massive swerve in the story, because Bianca Belair actually did have the match won after she hit the KOD on Liv Morgan. But Becky Lynch on commentary was like, no, I don't want that to happen. She got in the ring. She beat up Bianca so much that both of them scarpered, which allowed Doudrop to hit the Doudrop, which is just the bonsai drop. And she got the 1-2-3. So we're actually getting Becky Lynch versus the drop. Now, at first I was like, man, are you kidding me? Doudrop lost all those matches to Bianca Belair, and now she's the number one contender. But it does make sense. Becky Lynch knows this. The whole point is she's terrified of Bianca because she thinks she's going to beat her. So she stopped that from happening because she believes she can beat Doudrop. So as long as we do tie that into the narrative, it is actually damn smart. Plus, the match was good. We gotta give it an up. Which did indeed bring us to the end of Monday Night Raw, and I actually thought this was a decent episode. It's almost like they have a plan in mind or an event that they're building towards, so everything comes together nicely. It is getting it up.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50,
luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.